and it is my pleasure to once again introduce you to Reverend Barb. She has been a senior minister up at New Thought in Northern Colorado, CSL, for the past 11 years. And her passion is supporting people in finding their calling and living life full out. Please welcome Reverend Barb.
Thank you. It's always really lovely to come here. Y'all know how to make it warm. So I want you to do this. I learned this thing from Greg Braden recently. It's a harmonizing your heart and mind. And so I want to ask you to do this with me this morning. Just touch your heart, however it's comfortable for you. And then take some deep breaths. Deep breaths tell our body that they're in a safe place and that there is a place of openness. Breathe. And then say these words with me: care, appreciation, gratitude, compassion. 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 Now, I also want to send a whole bunch of love to Reverend Scott and Reverend Norman Scott. Reverend Scott and Norm, some combination of those words. I am really grateful to have the support around me that allowed me to say yes to his call this week, wondering if I could come up here. And I get to see all of you, which is always lovely. I wanted to start today with this care, appreciation, gratitude, and compassion because Reverend Norm asked me to talk about love. I understand your theme for the month is love is always the answer. And he asked me to talk about love and the self. And frankly, what I find is that when it comes to talking about love and the self, we could all use a little more care, appreciation, gratitude, and compassion, mostly for ourselves. So I want to talk with you. The phrase that kept coming to me as I was working with this week is to be relentless in loving. So to become a place of being relentless in loving. But before we do that, I thought we should agree a little bit on what love is, because unlike Forrest Gump, we don't always know what love is. And somebody surveyed a group of children. Now, I have to say, I learn an enormous amount from the kids in my community. They are these amazing bright lights of non-judgment and care for one another. And they're incredible. But so Rebecca, who was 8, said when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. And Billy, who's only 4, said, when someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know your name is safe in their mouth. I know, right? I could just end there. And then there was Carl, who said, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. And 4-year-old Terry said, love is what makes you smile when you're tired. And Emily said, love is when you kiss all the time. Then when you get tired of kissing and you still want to be together and you talk more. My parents are like that. They look gross when they kiss. And 7-year-old Bobby got it. And I want to meet this young man someday. He said, love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen. I know, but then love of the self. I kept having to come back. Love of the self. Now I want to ask you, how many of you, you can raise your hand if you do, how many of you look in the mirror every single morning and surround yourself in a big breath of love? You know, anyone? So here, one of the things that you might, if you've been here with me before, you know that you never leave without some sort of an assignment. So I'm going to put it right in the middle today. If you want to take the deepest, most profound spiritual journey of your life, stand naked in front of your mirror every day for 40 days and 70 times simply say, I love you. Write that down. Or meet me at the door. Mary Oliver wrote, there isn't anything in this world but mad love. Not in this world. No tame love, calm love, mild love, no so-so love. And of course, no reasonable love. Also, there are 100 paths through which through the world that are easier than loving. But who wants easier? I miss her already. Beyond the superficial, I think what really kept coming to me is that self-love is one of those deep onion places where you peel back a layer and you think you got it, and then you got to peel back another layer, and then sometimes that layer comes back and puts itself back on. Have you ever noticed that? It's one of the most annoying things about spiritual growth that there is the continual, I got to peel this again. But the thing is, unless we begin to explore who we are as love, we cannot possibly begin to understand and embrace the love that is spirit, the love that is God, the love that is in and through us and loves us as infinitely as it breathes us. We just can't. The only thing that gets in the way of all that, the one thing that gets in the way of all that is the same thing that gets in the way of everything. You know what that is? It's our thinking. It's our thinking, and making it hard. And thinking, and what am I doing? And complicating it. See, when I say thinking, he wants you to hear that word. What if the water was on this side? What if you got relentless in loving yourself? What would that look like? What would that mean? What would that look like? When I imagine that when we, the collective we, all kind of get that, then we really begin to understand that simple phrase, love one another. Because what hit me in the wee hours of the morning is that self-love is nothing to do with out here, has nothing to do with anything except that divine spark place that lives within us. And when we can peel back the layers and we can see that spark place is nothing but love, and we understand it, then we can't help but see that place in everyone else out there. In here, out there, in everywhere. We can't help but see it. And then we can truly know what it is to love one another. Brené Brown says, only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our light. Only when we're brave enough to explore, sometimes the shadowy dark places. Now, if this were easy, or if I was going to actually just let you off the easy way, which I'm not inclined to do generally, I would assign a bunch of really pretty affirmations, and you could go home with a list of things like, I love myself, to say to yourself every day. But I am generally a person who has to work harder than that. I don't know, call me slow. Something. Call me something. But I also have this thing I call affirmation resistance, in a loving way, of course. But I have affirmation resistance. So while you may be able to hold up a mirror and say, look at you, you look 20 today, and look at how beautiful you are. I hold up a mirror and I say, look at you, you look 20 today, except for that cave in your forehead and the wrinkles around your eyes, and how much is Botox anyway? And that train just never stops. Anyone else have this train? Similar train? Sometimes I think that guys get a pass on this, and then I talk to some of my gay male friends and oh no. Relentless love. Relentless love has nothing to do with our face. It has nothing to do with anything out here. It is coming to this grace and understanding that not only are we loved, we are the expression of love made manifest, and that we are here to do the work of loving each other on this planet. There is nothing else. There is nothing else. So how do we peel back those layers? I mean, how do we do that? And I'd say gently. We gently peel back the layers. First layer, we observe the places in our life where we want to hide our light from others, where we want to hide from the world, and we give those places some light and some permission and some expression. We declare amnesty for the part of ourselves that we have not forgiven, and we forgive. We hold that place. We take that place and we hold its hand and we take it out to dinner and a movie. You know, we tactfully, we offer it a chance to make amends for the dumb things that we did when we didn't know any better. And we forgive ourselves for those things. Second layer, I don't know about you, but you know, I grew up with some interesting parents. Does anyone have interesting parents? You can say so if they're not in the room. And I can say that because normally my mom is in my church, and I can't talk about that. But I had interesting parents. My father was not a nice man. He was racist, violent, mean, all of it. He was also funny and loyal and incredibly smart. And that's just the beginning of the list. I didn't like him. Once I didn't approve of him, once I learned better, you get out of the house and you learn better, and then you're like, whoa, what was all that? And I wanted nothing to do with being anything like him. Anybody else? And then have you ever had that moment when you're in an argument with your kid or you're in an argument with your partner or your spouse, and suddenly you say something and you're like, oh my God, that came out of my mouth and that came out of that person's mouth too? No one else has done this? Yeah. My stepdaughter was the queen of getting that out of me when she was a teenager. It's horrifying. And what I've worked on this a lot. And what I've really come to is this funny little secret that we don't talk about very much. And that is that you cannot love the parts of yourself that are like that person, like that parent, until you can forgive them and acknowledge that those parts of you are things that maybe you want to cultivate. You know, for example, I have my dad's sense of humor, which you might not recognize today, but but for me to really love and express that part of myself, I had to love it in him, and I could not separate loving him from not forgiving him. Does this make sense? Onions. The thing about love that is so relentless and persistent and even frustrating is that we cannot love in parts. We can try to love in parts. We can say, I love this side of you, but not this side of you. And that doesn't really work. We either love or we don't. Now, we cannot love people's actions, for sure. We cannot bring ourselves into the experience of their actions. We can forgive them and still stay away from them, and that's okay. But we cannot love in parts. We have to learn to love beyond the human. I wanted to say the human, but I think it's beyond the human. We have to learn to love the spark within and to see it in everyone. And we can't see it in one and not see it in the other. And so it is this giant, giant opening to becoming the place where love is, the place where God is. You sing that song every week, I am the place where God shows up. I am the place where love shows up. And if I'm going to be the place where love shows up, I have to be that all the time. or practice being it all the time. It's a practice. It's a spiritual practice. Ernest Holmes wrote, "I believe that love is at the center of everything. Therefore, I accept love as the healing power of life." Let these words come over you for a minute. This is a really powerful paragraph. "I permit love to reach out from me to every person I meet. I believe that love is returned to me from every person I meet. I trust the guidance of love because I believe it is the power of good in the universe. I feel that love is flowing through me to heal every situation I meet, to help every person I contact. Love opens the way before me and makes it perfect, straight, and glad. Love forgives everything unlike itself. It purifies everything. Love converts everything that seems commonplace into that which is wonderful. Love converts weakness into strength, fear into faith." Love. So why go through this? Why learn this? Why do this? Because the opposite of love is not love. The opposite of love is fear. And absolutely everything we want is on the other side of our fear. It just lives there, waiting. It just lives there waiting. Love is the bridge to a life of wonder and awe. Love is the bridge to a world of peace and harmony. Love is the bridge to God. I also looked up the word relentless because I'm a dork like that. It means unyielding. To be so anchored in love that we never yield to the temptation of fear. Because it is fear that separates us. It's fear that has us separate into race groups. It's fear that has us separate into things. All this swirly nonsense going out in the world is all about fear. And love moves right through that like a knife. Or it will if we let it. And if we practice it. And if we become it, and we see that divine spark within ourselves so that we can see it clearly in others. And it seems so simple and so easy, and there's so much complicated stuff going on in our brain that, you know, makes it hard to apply it for a while. We have these brains that we've wired them the way they are, and rewiring our brains takes in a tremendous amount of dedicated spiritual practice. And we have to understand that we're not going to really understand what it feels like until we get there. We cannot imagine this kind of love until we get to it. It's just there. You can't imagine it fully. You can't start to. And here's the thing. When you start to travel this road, everything in your brain is going to fight it because it's wired to keep you safe, and this will feel vulnerable and open. And that's okay. It is okay to be vulnerable and open in this universe. And everything in the synapses of your brain is going to tell you no, 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 until you pass that barrier. Till you pass that barrier and it says, yes, this is who I am. This is who I've always really been. What a beautiful, beautiful expression this is. Wishing and wanting will not do it. Wishing and wanting will not do it. Relentless love is not a wish. It is a practice of faith. The question really is this: does it call you enough to brave your self-doubt and your fear, because everything you want is on the other side of your fear? And I will say this to you too. You have this amazing community. Your heart tribe, it's right here. It's right next to you. It's in the aisle. It's in front of you. It's behind you. And these people will hold your hand as you walk through this. You will hold each other, right? You will hold each other's hands as you become more open and more of your heart. Will you not? Oh, come on, really? Yes. Thank you. So I'm going to close today with a poem by one of my favorite people, David White. I think this speaks to all of this. It's called "Everything Is Waiting for You." He says, "Your great mistake is to act the drama as if you were alone. as if life were a progressive and cunning crime with no witness to the tiny hidden transgressions. To feel abandoned is to deny the intimacy of your surroundings. To feel abandoned is to deny the intimacy of your surroundings. Surely even you at times have felt the grand array, the swelling presence, the chorus, crowding out your solo voice. You must note the way the soap dish enables you, or the window latch grants you freedom. Alertness is the hidden discipline of familiarity. The stairs are your mentors of things to come. The doors have always been there to frighten you and to invite you, and the tiny speaker in the phone is your dream ladder to divinity. Put down the weight of your aloneness. Put down the weight of your aloneness and ease into the conversation. The kettle is singing as it pours you a drink. The cooking pots have left their arrogant aloofness and seen the good in you at last. All the birds and creatures of the world are unfetteringly themselves. Everything, everything is waiting for you. Everything is waiting for you. How would you like some prayer? I think I get to pray, right? I forgot to ask. And so as these beautiful people make their way to the stage, we just simply take that breath, hold our heart, take that breath. Consider that divine place within you that lives and breathes and is simply love. And so today, as I connect with that place and you connect with that place, I know absolutely that in that connection, we are in the place of one. We are in the practice of one. We are in the life and the love of the one. And so in this moment, as we feel the swell of love within this room, as we simply know this about ourselves and each other, we know that we take it beyond these walls that simply fall in the energy of this love, and they coat this planet in beauty and grace and kindness and compassion and caring for one another. And so today I simply hold these beautiful space of love and these arms of grace around anyone who is feeling alone or separate, who is experiencing illness or heartache or heartbreak. I know that in this room, healing happens. That within the sound of my voice is the sound of your prayer lifted up right here, right now, in this moment, placing its demand upon the law, and which says, yes, heal. Go forth and walk. It says, yes, heal. Allow your heart to mend. Be open. Be open to love. Always. Again and again and again. And again and again. It says you are not alone here. You are never alone here. And that you simply can reach out from your heart through your hand and touch the hand of God. And so today I give thanks. I give thanks for these beautiful teachings and this expression. I give thanks for this community, which is so overflowing in everything. I give thanks for this opportunity to be where the mountains are right in your face. And all of the beauty of the world is right there reminding you that you are one with it, and it is one with you. And you are one with it, and it is one with you. And so I release this prayer. We release all of the unspoken prayers that are within this room and know that they are moved upon immediately in the mind of Spirit, and that there is this chorus of yes, my beloved, yes. And if you would like to claim any part of this prayer for yourself, simply join me in saying, and so it is. Amen.
I am the place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up. I am the place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up. I am the place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up. I am the place.
I am the
place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up. I am the place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up. I am the place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up.
Yes.
I am the place where God lives, moves and breathes and has its being. I am the place where God shows up.
I would like to give a personal thanks to Reverend Barb for showing up with her huge heart and supporting this beautiful community. And now is the time for our offering. So I invite you to affirm with me, I joyfully celebrate the flow of God through me. I am grateful for receiving and giving to my spiritual community. I give thanks, always knowing God is my source, and so it is.